You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Simon Tronic, and this is what they sound like. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. I have a room full of guitars and Monrovians. Introduce yourselves, please, Simon Tronic.
I'm Joe.
And what do you do?
Oh yeah, I play guitars.
What else do I do?
Effects.
And I'm Brock.
And I'm Eddie.
And yeah, I'm a vocalist and play guitar.
You're Eddie.
And I'm Eddie.
And you're also Eddie.
Right. I don't do anything in this band.
Well,
I'm Brock. Let's clear up some of the confusion here. Now, I'm having deja vu right now because it looks like I'm interviewing a big part of Klum, which was a band that was on the show a while back. Joe and Brock, members of the band Klum. And how did you get involved in creating Simon Tronic? Is this an offshoot of Klum, or is this totally unrelated?
Before Klum, huh?
Yeah, we all. this is where before that all came about. This is
BC.
Us three. We're playing in my shack,
literally
in the back of my house. Yeah, it's literally a shack.
We switched over to the dojo.
Yeah, remember that? And then there's the dojo.
The dojo.
Yeah, but originally it was the shack, and it was just us three.
Yeah,
and we didn't know how to play guitars. We just sang out a key, and
it was fun stuff.
Played.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So Eddie, if you go to like myspace.com/SimonTronic, we see mostly your face.
Yeah.
Is this sort of your project, and these are your bandmates?
It kind of started that way, I guess. Initially it started out where I was just doing like electronic stuff, like while they were doing Klum, I was kind of doing my own thing. And, I just came up to Joe and basically said, let's do this, man. And he said, cool. And so we formed Simon Tronic. We got together and started adding guitars and stuff like that and all that. And then vocals. Yeah, vocals came in.
How'd you come up with the name Simon Tronic? I just assumed your name was Simon until you wrote me back the word Eddie.
I don't know. I was just thinking of like what fits the music best, and it was tough. I kicked it around forever, but I always thought of this. I had this image of this sad robot, this robot who was like who had emotions and feelings and stuff like that, and all that. And so that's kind of where I came up with the name.
Like Simon. Johnny Five.
Johnny Five.
You could have named the band Johnny Five.
Seems to be like an ongoing theme with this show is like robotic romance. I had Information Society several weeks ago, and they had written a song just completely about that.
Yeah,
about falling in love with a machine and
robotic romance.
Yeah, robots.
Wow,
yeah.
That's deep.
Like human.
That's
and
heavy.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that human on machine or machine on machine? Would it be machine on machine?
Is that downloadable?
I don't know. Well, aren't we all machines? Yeah. I mean, really.
That does sound pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Is that on YouTube yet?
Well, you guys want to go into a live song?
Yeah, we could try that. Yeah.
And then we'll talk about this this different, unique sound. So why don't we set up the mics so that they're facing the instruments, and we're going to give a shot at a live track, a live performance from Simontronic. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. And we're back. Yeah, is short songs part of is that a Simontronic thing?
Seems yeah. Like, yeah, it kind of seems to be that way. Yeah.
No, I mean that's totally normal. I know a lot of bands that are just like they never do a song that's over 3 minutes long, and then there are other bands that can't seem to do a song under 6 minutes.
Yeah, the structure thing is everywhere with this.
Yeah, we used to have like 9 minute long.
Yeah,
songs.
I think we all started off long and then
started out making epics. Short.
Yeah.
Is that like how do you know when a song is done? Is it just sort of like when you've proved your point and then you just sort of stop doing the song? Or
yeah
pretty much. You know, the thing I think with structure is like I've had this thing where it's just just the repetitive structure. I haven't been too into like just common structure, so I've been trying to, and also things that get repeated a lot tend to kind of irritate us a bit, so we've just it's like that's why it's in sections of just like verse, maybe chorus, and wherever it wants to go, maybe bridge or just verse, chorus, and it. Or not even chorus sometimes, just whatever feels right, I guess, And just the whole repeating melodies, I've never been, or at least recently, I haven't really been into repeating stuff, So that's why it almost sounds like it's just half a song, at times, mm-hmm. And that's where it's at. But I'd like to eventually extend it, maybe make some epics.
When people ask you to describe the sound of Simontronic, how do you do that? What kind of genres do you pull from, or do you say, oh, it's kind of like a marriage between this and that, or...
Yeah, what
I have no idea. my delay's on again. All right, when we first started playing, we did, synth-pop?
Well, synth-poppy stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Synth-pop. Then, after that, we started doing kind of some mellow stuff, nice... Sigur Rossi kind of
stuff. It's about the time you started smoking pot around that time.
No, that was way before. Then we started doing punk rock?
That was right around the time we started doing meth.
That was a thousand meth days. Then punk rock, we moved on. What am I on, coke right now? Something like that? I don't know anymore.
How do you define the sound though? Like what do you call it now?
My brother calls us posers. So I think that best describes it.
It's kind of Gorillaz like, I think, where it's got hip hop and
yeah, I've definitely been everything. Like very hip hop influenced now. Been listening to a lot of hip hop and just really into that. I also grew up on it, so it's kind of just kind of going back to it.
What are some of your main hip-hop influences?
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. You know, I like Aesop Rock a lot. Like, I mean, recent influences, I'm definitely into that. But I grew up on, like, Run DMC and all that stuff, like, you know, the classics. Yeah. But, yeah, that's where it all started.
I like Dell. The
funky Homo sapiens. Yeah.
And computers?
Deltron's great.
Yeah. And what about electronic music? And how... Like, why electronic music at all? And then what are some of the influences?
Yeah, I think Aphex Twin's always been a huge influence. Initially it was like a friend of mine a few years back turned me on to electronic, and it was Altecra. She brought me onto this group called Altecra, I think that's how you pronounce it. And that's kind of where it all started for me. It just snowballed, and I got really into it, and Joe as well. And so we just, yeah.
I love Aphex Twin.
Yeah, the first thing Simontronic was doing was very underworld-like, though. It was like,
oh, gosh, yeah.
It was strange to see it in like a bar. Mm-hmm. It was like very like dancey and like hooky melodies and very loud and underworld like. It was cool.
Yeah, electronic kinda music rhyme-ish. I don't really think fits with bars.
No. It's weird to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tough sell. Because you have to do. I mean, you guys have a lot of live guitars and effects going on here, so you can make up for it. But like a strictly electronic act, like, really has to do something with the show, with the performance, sort of give a reason for them being on stage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
they could put people to sleep, you know, because we've been to a bunch of those, and we saw Fortet a couple years ago, and I just remember how boring it was to me, you know, just watching him like ghost tweet or whatever.
Like
Fortet, but it just seemed very dull. Like the performance is just kind of boring, you know. Like
I saw Orbital several years ago, and I'm a huge Orbital fan, mm-hmm. and it was like. Well, they're wearing funny glasses. So, you know, they had glasses with lights on them. I was like, oh, that's great. I could watch that for hours, you know. But I think if it weren't for that, I'd be like, oh, it's just guys pressing buttons.
Just pressing buttons, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to determine what somebody's playing in electronic music. Because, really, you could be playing nothing. Right. I mean, you're sitting there and you could just pretend like you're pressing buttons.
Right.
Press the play button. I mean, really.
You could be Ashley Simpson. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the beauty of Underworld, though. Like, they play, you know, Carl Hyde will play guitar or whatever mm-hmm. while he's performing. He's really hyper. He entertains.
Yeah.
There can be a downside to that, too, though. I saw Moby play once, and he kept picking up the guitar and playing the guitar.
Like one string.
Yeah, and it was, like, it was pretty lame. You know? He wasn't like, a great guitar player or anything. Yeah. He was just, like, trying to liven it up.
Right.
He had all these, like, you know, hardcore Moby fans there. They just wanted to hear the music that they, that they were into. He's like, oh, I'm going to play an acoustic version of this song.
And yeah,
everyone's like, do you have to? This is awkward.
Yeah. I guess it could work sometimes.
Why don't we play another track from the CD, and then we'll talk about how you put that together.
Okay.
What do you recommend?
Let's see. I want to do
The Devil Sleeps. Cool. All right. This is from the Simontronic album, The Royal Bloodline. And Simontronic is my guest today on Is Good on killradio.org.
Rest so funny when the brandy man sleeps. Sounds funny how his morning starts a radio and teach. You got 65 trains with a penny on a rail. Lost my hands on the cloud. Everybody, anyone, for the omen talk, please. Come the rainy dog, never take a bad truck. I realize I'm on the wrong planet. Ton of phantoms with giant black hands. And a crooked bridge of Satan on a horse of shy handsomes. This is the right time to hit him. If comes the dead time, the cover, the riddle. 2 a.m. and the dogs wake up. Put a knife in my spine, then ignite my soul.
Eliminate him!
All obliterated.
Not a second later.
All the red spread. Took a walk through a park with a shotgun in my hand.
Staring on, scary, long, scary, 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 scary.
Hear the wall off sleep. Arching in pitch black with the heart off beat. Deep breath and I'm back. Understand now, this is your life. These are your love lives, this is your life. This is my life, man. This is my life, man. This is my night, man. This is my night, man. I'm not a rhyme, man. I'm not a rhyme, man. I ride a pain. This is my life, man. 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 I'm not a rhyme, man. I'm not a rhyme, man. I write a plan that I sing in a falsetto.
What's the S? Mental state. Couldn't find a pulse, so now we looked at Mother Monster. Naturally destroying everything we come in contact with. Pentagon for the bomb technology.
You can mine all you want, but you'll lose.
Put a token in my back and I'll sing Chinese blues. If you really want a month, then I'll suggest the news. Half a billion people die from their revenge virtue. I found a water fountain, drank from it, then wept. 2,000 years later, permanent regret. I killed the queen and buried her and all my word and voice. Until I'm full enough to know how the dreadful words.
Thump, thump, beep, beep.
Could I be off my mind?
Is it the beating of a heart? Is it the clock talking time? Has the meaning of the rhyme become a mental crime? Must be on the water play because I think offline.
I'm the one to blame because I think
And we're back on Is Good, killradio.org, and my guest is Simon Tronic.
Hello.
So this album is called The Royal Bloodline. It's 15 tracks. It runs about 19 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
Very close, actually.
How long did it take you to put together this album?
Oh, about 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah, it wasn't, it wasn't that long.
No, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, the process was really quick. When I was doing, when we were doing the Plume album, it was so, day in, day out, doing it every day. And for my experience with this project was, it was like, I came in and laid down a bunch of parts.
Drank all my beer.
For a couple hours, drank a bunch of beer, and just lay down a bunch of magic and then left.
Yeah.
And I came in and remixed it.
Yeah.
It was really fun for me.
It's a pretty quick process.
It was really quick for when I came in.
We were actually prior to this, we were working on a hip-hop record, which is our first record, actually. We haven't been able to put it out yet because we don't have the money. We can't even put this one out. But that's kind of where we picked up. We kind of put that one on hold for a bit and finished the Royal Bloodline. So we're looking to go back, actually, and finish that hip-hop
record. Which usually comes first, the beats, the guitars, and the effects, or the words?
Beats first, right?
Yeah, beats, right.
Okay. I usually come in and just do the whole thing in beatbox.
And then I erase it.
Brock, you should be on America's Got Talent.
I've been watching that, but...
Did you see the guy last night who was snapping his fingers?
Yeah.
I think really
everybody was blown away.
He's going to be on the show next week.
Yeah.
No, not really.
I'm going to tune in.
Like that mustache.
Yeah. You should. What are the odds?
I mean, I've had Latin musicians, I've had acoustic guitar acts, electronica. I have yet to have anybody just snap their fingers.
Any black people?
Yes. Thank you very much.
He said Latin musicians. And then
I meant like
snappers.
Latin music. I'm a Jew.
Oh, man, I knew it.
We were listening to that last track, and, this may sound kind of silly, but, there's a lot of words in a rap. So tell me about the writing process. I mean, did you just write out this, several paragraphs, what you wanted to say in this song, or does it come to you after you've put together the beats?
Right, it's usually I'll lay down a beat and then I'll come up with a melody. Melodies come really early to me, and then I'll just mumble words or whatever I feel like, and then kind of later on, once the song's done and once the melody's there, I'll fill it in with lyrics. I'll write lyrics to it and it'll all be there.
Then he mumbles the lyrics.
And then I mumble.
But I mean, we're not talking like freelance. I mean, this is thought out lyricism, written out.
It's kind of back and forth. A lot of times I don't know where I'm going with a song. I'll just, just sing whatever or play whatever and just kind of just end up going with it, and just adding to it and not really questioning it. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Are you guys ready to go into another live track?
Most certainly.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I don't know why I keep calling it a track today. So I'm such a CD head. So the live performance coming up in just about a few seconds from Simon Tronic. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. And also, if you want to instant message a question for the band, you can do so. Our AOL instant messenger handle is Kill Radio Station. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Simon Tronic.
Oh,
That was great. That sounded great, seriously.
Awesome. My voice is quivering.
No, it was good, because when you started wailing, you backed away from the mic a little bit. A lot of times I just it peaks out on the on the mixer, so that worked out well.
Damn, Mariah Carey. You're working that mic.
Mariah Granny.
Going like this, too.
Yeah. So what does a live performance by Simontronic look like? What are some of the challenges? We were talking before about like sort of putting electronic music into a live performance. I mean, is it the three of you up there with your guitars? Or
actually, it's just me and Eddie right now.
Right, yeah. We keep, like, people come and go.
Yeah, we've had a lot of different band members. It first started out with me, Eddie, and Silvano, Barba. From
right, and Brutus.
Brutus Gets the Girl.
Hey, Sylv.
And hey, how you doing, Sylv? Out there?
Who's listening right now? Yes, who was a guest on my show several weeks ago?
Yeah, I think he's typing his fastest right now. He's trying to answer the message.
I'm here.
Right here, guys.
Good old Sylv. But yeah, it was us three for a while, and then
Sylv dumped us.
And then they were playing with a couple other guys, and we started doing we were doing kind of like laid back stuff, and then we got into the punk thing, got with a couple other guys.
Right.
And then, I lost count. Where were we after that? I don't know. It's
their live show originally, like, I know because I used to watch it. It was very like, this guy was like a hyper fireball, like dancing all over the stage with the electronica and singing to everybody. And then it got really like gloomy and very sad and acoustic, and I guess it's somewhere in between now, because now he raps at the crowd.
Gotta rap.
Yeah.
Tell me about the way people responded the first time you guys got up on stage as Simontronic.
The first time we ever played?
Yeah.
Somebody danced to your music, right, on the stage? They did it.
Which one?
Wayne? We had a blue man up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a real dead show. Like, you know, it was we played at Monrovia. Not many people were really into it, and like, you know, it was just like background music pretty much, because it was like electronic. And then the second show we did was when Joe came in.
We
were all just a big, like, just nervous wrecks, you know. My legs were shaking, and
I that was like the first time I heard the songs, like, right, the day of. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll play. Like, it just came in, and like learned them that day.
It was like jazz.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, I was worried for Joe.
I think I forgot the song as soon as I got on stage.
What is the major concern? That people won't like the music, or that people won't get the concept of Simontronic?
Yeah, I think the latter, yeah. Just sometimes it just goes over people's heads. It's, you know, it's so everywhere, you know, it's kind of, it's random. It's just, so, yes.
Yeah, we've had shows where, like pretty much everybody at the place hated us, but, like, you know, two people, like, loved it, you know, after the show, like, went up to me, oh, I love it, you know.
Right.
Does that make it worth it? As long as you get those one or two people.
That does make it worth it, yeah.
Keeps you in there.
I know that one of the things that really made a difference to me was there's this one girl, I looked up our name on MySpace. I typed in Simontronic, and one profile came up of somebody that had our name on their list.
Yeah,
and I emailed the girl. I was like, oh, yeah, like, because I didn't know her. And she, like, said, like, oh, I was looking for you guys. Like, I found your demo at a place, like a place in Long Beach on the floor or something. And she put it in her seat there. And she loved it. And
had to
she,
dig it out of the trash and some lettuce on top of it.
But she was stoked. And that, you know, that was just, you know, one person loved it. So there was just some random girl. That, you know, that made a difference.
And it is funny how, like, when one person really, really connects with your music, you know, in their mind, you're, you know, sort of a pseudo celebrity.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then you when you go out and you see everybody else who has never been exposed to your music, you don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was also great. I looked up on her MySpace thing, and it, you know, I was looking through her band names, you know, and there's like Sigur Rós, you know, like Radiohead. And I'm like, then it's like Simontronic. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that was really, it's an honor, you know, to see your name, whenever you see your name, you know, on somebody's list or whatever. And
sure.
It's really an honor, like, especially when it's next to good things, you know.
When people take you off, though, it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no longer an influence.
Or you're next to, like, Matchbox 20 or something.
Right, that's never good.
Looking at your MySpace page and your website, there's definitely a political bent. Talk to me about that and how it is reflected in your music.
Yeah, you know, I guess just a lot of times it's like, what's going on? You know, I try to, you know, I don't even stay that current. Like, I was for a while kind of staying, you know, staying current with what was going on in politics, but it just kind of wears you out after a while, and it sort of frustrates you, you know, because it's, you're just, there's just not much you can really do about anything, you know? So I tend to just write about it sometimes. I'll, you know, incorporate it, get out that hate. But yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess. Oh, actually, that first song, No Warning, the first track you played, was written about the Trade Center deal. And we got a phone call here. Okay. And yeah, so that was actually written about the Trade Center deal. You know? I think since it happened, I just always felt this, like, you know, just like everyone else, has felt this pent up, you know, just frustration and emotion. Mm-hmm. Was just kind of letting it out in that song, you know.
And is that? Do you see that as like a feature of Simontronic? Like, is it important to you to inject politics into your music, or is it just your music is about life and one of the things in your life that you care about is politics?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more that, yeah. But, you know, it just seems to find its way through sometimes. Even when I try to avoid it, it just somehow comes in, you know. But it's always there. It's really, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So you have a lot of links to progressive political websites, moveon.org and so forth.
Yeah, just whatever little thing I can do.
You do your research.
Yeah, I spent a whole 30 seconds looking at the MySpace page and I was able to figure you guys out. But
that counts, though, you know, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Inconvenient Truth?
Actually, I just saw it just the other day.
Great movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary stuff.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't blow it for me.
It's very bloody. Everybody dies. Yeah,
don't tell me what happens to Al Gore in the end.
You'll find out.
I don't know, not to stray too far from the topic, but like, I don't know. It's like, it was a great movie because it was great information. Uh-huh. I don't know that technically it was a great documentary.
Right.
It's like
stupid. You know? No, yeah, it was more just great information. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was the best slideshow presentation I'd ever been to, you know. I don't know if it was the best movie.
PowerPoint.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good. Do you guys want to jump right into another live song?
You better believe it.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
Which one?
See this one here. Here we go.
Cool. My guest is Simontronic. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.